Hey fans, viewers, and listeners, welcome to another exciting episode of Fight Inside Podcast. I'm your host for today, Rain Cruz, also known as Ringside Rain, ring announcer for Up Next Fighting. And with me as always is Timmy B and hi, Evie. Before we get things started, please do follow and subscribe to Fight Inside Podcast so you can get the latest news and updates from our show. Our guest today is Liz Carmouche, who will talk about being a role model in a male-dominated sport, her thoughts about the PFL and Bellator merger, and her advice to females who want to make it in the world of mixed martial arts. Plus, we will talk about the fallout from UFC 296, specifically Colby Covington, Ian Garry, and Bilal, and a whole lot more. So, what are we waiting for? Tim, hit it! Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Fight Insight Podcast!
All right, our guest today is the first ever current reigning and defending champion we have ever had on this podcast, Rain. And for it to come on our monumental 150th episode truly means a great deal to us. She is the Bellator Women's Flyweight World Champion and comes to us off of her third successful title defense this past October at Bellator 300, which also marked her seventh straight win and fifth straight victory by stoppage, which we always love, Rain. We love to see those stoppages. She is a true legend in the sport and a role model for those around the world. Ladies and gentlemen, it brings me great pride to have her on our podcast here today. Rain,
please welcome Liz Gorilla Carmouche.
Thank you for having me. Hello.
Liz, it is so wonderful to see you. How are you?
Good, thank you. How are you guys?
Not bad. Was that the best ring announcing you have ever heard your name said?
Aw. Well, thank you.
The best. Liz, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Again, this is our 150th episode, so it is fantastic to have a champion, a gold-wearing champion in our presence. The belt is above you there. Liz, do you get a new belt every time you successfully defend your title?
No, and that's what I thought. So I had kind of that disappointment. The second time that I fought, I'm successful. I'm like, all right, cool. I actually felt like I achieved the belt that time. And yeah. I was going to walk backstage and they're like, all right, Liz, give us the belt back. I was like, no, give us the belt back. I'm like, no, I take this home with me. I don't understand. I'm like, no. I'm like, so it'll be in the mail then? They're like, ha, ha, ha. Like, what's that? That is or anything. Needless to say, it did not show up in the mail. That's the one and only.
Oh my goodness.
Wow.
That's crazy. Do they, and I'm not disparaging anybody, but do they do anything to the belt? Do they add a notch? Nothing. It's just the belt is the belt?
No. So what I do is I do like knives for each one and then I have them engraved for each fight. So I do like my own little thing, but they don't do anything. It's just kind of like, hey, good job. Get out of here.
You get a nice pat on the back and maybe an Uber home. And
they can let you have the belt back, and when you're at the end of the fight. Scott comes and he puts a belt around your waist and I thought like, oh, okay. And then once you get out of the cage, they're like, take it back. I'm like, no. And they're like, there'll be one up at the press conference. And I was like, I don't trust you guys. And then the press conference, they're like, leave the belt there, Liz.
That's crazy. That is so crazy. Liz, you got to maybe, what happens if you bleed on it a little?
Ooh, that's what I need to do in the future, right? Because I always get a bloody nose. So I should just be like, it's fine. Yeah, you guys cannot possibly risk it. You can't do it. Let's
Especially it has my DNA.
Yeah.
Or here's a thing, Liz. Bring in like black spray paint like the NWO used to in wrestling days and spray paint Liz on it.
There you go.
Like right when you get it.
I feel like you should really do it. Because there's always, I blood every fight. It doesn't matter. So just do it.
Okay, well now I have to ask though, what are these knives you're talking about?
I have tour knives and this next one will be half lace blades, but I just do a different blade and on the opposite side of it I get engraved for each of the fights.
What?
I don't know if you can see.
That's how old I am. I have to move my glasses. That is crazy.
That's really
Liz.
Cool.
That is very does now. Does that go back to your army days?
No, it's just something where I'm just a huge fan of knives. Knives, guns, all that. And it's much cheaper to get knives and have those engraved than it is to get guns. Also, my wife and I made a deal when we got married. All the money that I put towards any new gun purchases or gun additions, she gets towards a horse fund. So I went the knives route because I never have to add to her horse fund.
Yes, very good, Liz. That's the good agreement you've made. And yeah. See, what I like is this is some marital advice for everybody listening, right? Yeah. There's always like sneaky tricks.
You gotta have to have a loophole.
Look for those marriage loopholes, thanks to Liz Carmouche. There you go, Liz. Liz, I do want to ask you, of course, I can't believe about the bell thing. That is crazy. Okay, I did not know that. Liz, I do want to say female fighters reached out to me in droves. I told you before.
Yeah.
When I posted that you'd be coming on this podcast, I got people reaching out right away. One fighter said, can I please be your co-host for this episode? Rain, I was worried that they were going to attack you like behind the scenes. And I'm like, oh, do you know Liz? Hold on. There's like a, oh, okay. I was like, do you know Liz? And then the girl was like, no, I just love Liz. Like she's like the greatest fighter. I just want to be your co-host to meet her. I was like, oh, but Liz, I mean, how cool is it that like, you've been around the game for so long, you're kicking ass more so than ever before. And female fighters around the world, all fight fans just love you. Like you're a very likable, lovable fighter.
Yeah. It's surprising for me. I think just because, one, just growing up, like I grew up in Japan and, you know, as an American child, but ethnic wise, like Lebanese and Irish, I didn't really have identities within Japan. Within the Japanese culture, I wasn't really recognized as being a Japanese or Okinawan citizen. And that's where I spent 17 and a half years, almost 18 years of my life. That's home for me. And then I come to the United States and the people are like, yeah, you're not really American. Like you didn't grow up here. I'm like, ah, this is so weird. Like I don't have a place where I really fit in. And so I didn't really have that acceptance. And then in the Marine Corps during Don't Ask, Don't Tell, getting out, and MMA is finally where I feel like I've found my own footing and acceptance within the community. So it's always surprising to me when I find that people are so receptive just because I felt like I've stood out for so long that it's still a surprise, but a welcome surprise now that it happens.
Oh, that is cool. As you can see, Rain loves Hello Kitty. I mean, growing up in Japan, were you a Hello Kitty fan?
No, I was a Dragon Ball Z fan.
Oh, okay.
Okay, all right. Very cool. Very cool. All right. Rain, is there anything that you wanted to ask Liz?
No, for me, I'm curious actually for your advice, because, you know, there's like women who have stepped in the mixed martial arts world. And I know there's always that need for more opportunities for women. What's your advice for women who, you know, want to be a fighter, or like for me, you know, I'm a female cage announcer, or, you know, for a female who wants to be a commentator in the mixed martial arts world?
Knowledge is going to be the biggest thing. And I think too, just acceptance of within the MMA community, no matter what the role is, whether you're a commentator, ring girl, fighter, it's a male dominated sport. Right. And so many women want to go in there and they want to find other women and they want to have that comfort zone. I think you have to accept that within this realm, be uncomfortable all the time. If you can accept that and realize it's a male dominated sport and just be grateful for the opportunities that arise, everybody will excel and do really well in each of those fields, because the women that really stand out are the ones that accept that they're just trying to best them in what they're trying to do and just accept them as equals and accept them in where we're at and just trying to excel within that community that they do. They rise above everyone else, as opposed to most of the women I see that are looking for the camaraderie and want to have the women there. They tend to then fall into their shadows and let somebody else step forward ahead of them to lead the pack. And they have to just be uncomfortable in situations and realize that it's okay to stand out amongst everyone else. It's a good thing.
Ooh, I love that.
Yeah. I was not going to ask this, Rain, but I feel like your question has led me to it. And Liz, your answer led me to it. What do you think about the recent trend of fighters doing the OnlyFans stuff and things like that? Because like you're saying, like, you know, have your knowledge speak for you and stuff like that. I'm an old soul. UFC veteran Brian Bam Bam Barbarina, he's a good friend of the podcast. He comes on. We often talk about how we're both old souls, so we talk about things, but I'm not so keen on that. What is your thoughts on the women in MMA that are using that as the tool to kind of get over?
I say there's two things with that. I mean, what we keep seeing over and over again is that the women are willing to do that when they make more money just in that field alone, right? It's a source of income. And I think for them, for themselves, if it's something that they take enjoyment from, good for them. If it gives them a little bit more self-confidence, if it gives them a revenue stream, great. If it's taking from them, right? Like if it's exhausting the energy they could have had towards training or for the rest of their day, if it isn't building their confidence, if it's making them doubt themselves, if they ever wonder like 10 years down the road, if they have kids and their kids see that stuff, if they're okay with that, then by all means, go for it. I know for me personally, it's not something I could ever do. I don't have that confidence and, you know, I don't feel comfortable. It's just not for me, but I know some of my friends that they love it and it really is something they look forward to and they have so much fun doing it. And right. I have no judgment for them. Like it's helped accelerate their careers. And they really do. We're like, yeah, I'd rather do this than fight. Like, what was I thinking? I'm like, hey, good for you. It's working for you. For me personally, it's never something I think I could do.
Yeah. No. Okay. And you're being very nice about it too, which I appreciate. What about the fact though, do you think though that, you know, cause you came up in a time when that wasn't really around, right? And to make a name for yourself and whatnot, you had to do it based on your credentials and your athletic skill and your successes, right?
Yes and no.
Really?
Yeah. I think that most of the women that rose up in the ranks, oftentimes did so, because and for us, it was often very encouraged to have that sexual side and mm-hmm. be more attractive. I mean, I know with my original management team, I was told to stay in the closet and to not be open about being gay, to play up and to put on makeup and heels. I'm like, guys, I'll break my ankles if I walk in heels. Like it's not an option. Like I will not be able to fight if I break my ankles. And they wanted me to dress up and play girly and to do all these things. It's always been, that agenda has always been pushed. Mm-hmm. And I understand too, when you look at those that tune in, when you do any of the analysis on the fight fans, it's 18 to 35 year old males.
Right.
That's 90% of our fight fans. Only 10% make up women. That's not small enough to carry and to pay out the paycheck. So I understand why we're being pushed for that. It's a sad world. And I wish that we could just go out there and just fight because the guys aren't being told the same story.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Like nobody cares about that. But the reality is that that's the world that we live in. And I'd much rather us be able to go in there and just be honest and be out there. And in Invicta, I didn't feel like I was ever pushed in that way. I never felt like Shannon ever trying to push that in any way whatsoever, right? She encourages women to go out there and be as strong as possible. But you're also seeing that the women that are fighting Invicta aren't getting paid the same as women in Bellator and UFC.
Right. Shout out to Shannon. We had her on the podcast, Liz. She is like one of the best human beings.
She's phenomenal. Yeah.
She's the best. Liz, okay, but how about this? And I love being able to talk to you about this because everything you're saying is so cool. But what about the fact that, like, for example, I do make comments online sometimes and I get into fights with people because people love like the Nina girl or like Laura Sanko or whatever, right? But they present themselves in a different way. Like they recently just did a very sexy video of them doing jujitsu with one another. I don't know if you saw that.
No,
I just said, and I don't know these people at all, right? But I said, Megan and Levy would never be caught dead doing that. And I just think like, I worry that like, if I had a young daughter who was growing up and wanted to be a commentator or a host, that now that young girl who such as yourself maybe says, well, I don't want to do that. I don't want to put on that dress and I don't want to have to dress up sexy. I just want to do it based on my merits.
Yeah.
I worry that like, she's going to lose her ability to do that. And as knowledgeable and as good as she would be at that thing, now we're looking for something different, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. And I certainly think so. I think until we can reach a different demographic and we can extend the desire for the sport to more than just our 18 to 35 year old males, where we can get more popularity to women and we can get that so that it's not 18 to 35 year old males. Like extend that to one, a larger population of males, right? Even beyond 35 years old. And then let's extend that demographic to be 18 to 35 year old women. But we're not getting it. It's not as encouraged. They don't have the same appeal for it. I don't think that in schools we're seeing it enough. I know even for myself, I didn't have anybody that I looked up to as a role model. Mm-hmm. You know, like is when I got into weight training, when I wanted to be strong, it was just because I had two voices in my head, my mom, my father, telling me like, hey, this is who you are. Accept who you are. It's okay to be different. But of course, like at every turn, I wanted to fit in, and I didn't want to just be the strong girl, the fast girl, the athletic girl. Like I wanted to easily just drift into the background, but realize that that wasn't my role, and just accepted like, hey, this is who I am. I don't need to be pretty. And I never got an MMA to be pretty. I accepted the fact that if I'm going in there and I'm willing to bash my face, I'm like, I'm not going to come out on the other side looking the same. And I have to accept that. And I think, you know, so many people aren't, you know, they get it for, I know a lot of fighters, male or female, that get into it for the fame or what they think that it comes with because of fighting, everything you get out of it, instead of the love of training and the love of the sport.
Yeah. Dang, Rain. I love this. Liz, I've been waiting for someone to be able to talk about this. And I always thought like, I got to find the person. And now we've just happened into this conversation. I talk about it all the time because I don't love it. Like I don't love what's happening. Now, the title of this podcast is definitely going to be 18 to 35 year old males are dirt bags. Says Liz Carmouche, you know what I mean? Because that's true. I'm essentially, but there's different people, right? I'm like, yes, it's 18 to 35, but not everybody is looking for that, right? Yes. Like, I don't know.
With the OnlyFans, with your sexual appearance and your physical physique, right? Right. So oftentimes, who are characterized as a human being isn't as important. Our skill set when we perform in the cage isn't as important as how we appear. Mm. That's a sad truth, right? And that's one of the reasons why I'm not comfortable doing OnlyFans, because I do have a 7-year-old son. And if down the road, if he and his friends are like, hey, I saw your mom's OnlyFans, I would never be able to live with myself, right? On top of like my own uncomfortableness where I'm like, why would anybody ever want any feet otherwise, whatever it happens to be, why would you want to pay for that stuff for me? But also the idea that if we adopt kids and I have a daughter, and you know, she wants to look up to me as a role model. I'm like, well, I wanted to sell out, so I did an OnlyFans to bring in more money. I'm not willing to do that. I've had other opportunities where people are like, pretend that you're straight, do all these other things, and you can get these paydays and get these sponsorship opportunities. And I said no, because I wanted to stay true to who I am and keep my integrity. And it was important to me to portray to my children, keep your integrity and be true to who you are. And that's more important than whatever you think you're going to get with money.
Yeah. Dang, Liz, I didn't. Okay, to be fair, I didn't even know that you had a. I didn't know whether you did or did not have an OnlyFans. Also, OnlyFans doesn't have to be like pervert stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no.
And Liz, you know the crack research team that I am, single-handedly. Just so you know, Liz, you are on WikiFeet.
I do know that, and I only know that. Where's WikiFeet? On WikiFeet, yeah, I had no idea it was a thing. So you. When I first started training, my coach is like, hey, you finally made it. Like, if you look on Google, your name pops up. He's like, I made an alert when you started fighting. And so now anytime that there's any updates on the internet, I get all of them. And then, of course, the WikiFeet thing. He's like, hey, did you know you have a 4.5 star or whatever it was at the time on WikiFeet? And I was like, what is WikiFeet? He's like, well, it's like Wikipedia but for feet. I'm like, no, I didn't know that. Liz, I have ugly, enormous feet. Like, I have Flintstone white feet. Why would anybody want to see my feet?
Liz, 4 stars, Liz. I mean, whatever you said, 4.5 or whatever, it's still up there. So, I mean, congratulations. You. One of the biggest accomplishments of your career.
I mean, it's my wiki feet, yeah.
Yeah. Liz, of course I wanted to have you. Liz, I could have... Please do come back on the podcast, though. I feel like we could definitely have good conversation on a whole bunch of things. I would be murdered by my friends and the fans if I didn't, though, talk to you. You're at Bellator 300. You get a successful victory there. Many of us thought Bellator 300 would be the last Bellator, right? They then go on to have a little bit more, but now they are bought out by PFL. Liz, what the heck do you think is happening with your career specifically as it relates to this merger now and what happens to the gorilla?
Yeah, I feel like I'm even more in limbo than, so I thought for, I'm going to say at least for the last year, I suspected that PFL was going to buy out Bellator. And I've been saying different little rumors, like, I see these little things and it just looks like it's headed that way. And I had thought, I'm like, oh, well, that's awesome. That means that we have the opportunity, one, for the ranking system to be completely unbiased. It is done simply by the points earned in each fight. I love that because like when we're talking about naturally, just when people watch and they're judging, somebody has flashy clothing, that's what they follow, right? So we don't have to worry about points. Any of that stuff is done without bias and just more scientifically. That drive alone, the potential to earn $1 million sounded amazing. And then once the merger happened, what they're saying was, this is champions versus champions. Within my weight division and PFL for the United States, there is no female 125 division. Right. So I don't know what that means. I don't know if like this will all stay if I fight the European 125 flyweight champion, if they're going to bring in more women so that we can make the shuffle of a tournament, or if I just keep fighting other Bellator fighters the way we've had it. I have no clue. I know for the men and for Cyborg, super exciting, right? To see champion versus champion. Whenever you have those doubts of like, who's the better champion? Well, let's just have our champions face each other, right? It takes those doubts out. So that's super exciting. But I'm in that limbo place where I have no clue what's going to happen. And I'm just waiting to get a phone call soon and some information involved in that so I know what my future holds.
Okay. Okay. So yeah. So the answer is you don't know yet. No one said anything yet. They did say, and I'm happy that you're saying, so you thought that when PFL bought Bellator that everybody was going to go back into that season format, but we now know that they were saying, no, PFL is still going to be a season. Athletes can choose whether they want to go into the season format thing or whether they want to go into the one-off event that are going to be the Bellator International Series or whatever they called it.
No, it looks like what they're doing for, at least for the champions, is they're trying to make that the doubts and the questions around, is the Bellator champion for like, say, 145 female. Oh. They're doing champion versus champion. For the other women within the weight class, I don't know on either side if that automatically, they could, okay, you guys go into the tournament play and the season play to figure out how that goes. But I know at the very least, next year we'll be seeing all the champions from PFL versus Bellator if there's a weight class that corresponds with each other.
But no, and who am I to correct the legend, Liz Carmouche, Rain? But I think they were going to do a champion versus champion like one time. But then after that, they would have to say, okay, so Liz has now murdered that person. What happens next? And I think you were going to get given the choice. So, but if it got down to the point where they said, Liz, you have a choice. You can either go into our next season and do the tournament thing, or you can hold off for the 8 Bellator pay-per-views during the year, and you can do one-off fights there. If you had to choose, which would you choose, the season or the one-offs?
So if the season was at 135, absolutely, I'm all for the season. If it's at 125, it is such an extreme weight cut for me that I do need the proper time to heal both before and after to get ready for it. If it was 135, there's no doubts in my mind. Get me into the season play. Let me get as many fights as I can. Have the opportunity to earn $1 million. If we're staying at 125, then I'm going to have to keep with the pay-per-views with Bellator.
Okay. Nice. Follow-up question. How much money of the $1 million has to go to the horse fund?
Does my wife need to know about this? I'll tell her. She's not going to watch this podcast.
Well, wait a second, Liz. Can she please watch the podcast? We'd love our numbers to go up.
No. My wife definitely, going into it, like I said, we had our deal with like guns. I then contributed absolutely nothing to the gun fund, but the horse fund has just keeps increasing. We were supposed to just be 2 horses. Now we have 4 horses.
Oh, you do?
Yes. We have 4 horses. One of them, we had an outdoor water spout where they could hand pump it. One of the horses broke the water spout. So we had to like come out and have plumbers fix that. Like, this fund just keeps increasing. Maybe the gun fund is non-existent.
Maybe hearing about this problem with the horses, maybe we know that you are now entering that tournament for the $1 million. You need it.
For my wife, just so we're clear. Funding her.
Now, recently, like you said, there was no flyweight champion with American PFL, but just, I think it was 2 weekends ago, the PFL Europe concludes. And yes, so now we've got Dakota Decheva is the champion for PFL Europe. 10-0 fighter. Does that hold an appeal for you? Because Liz, if they do champion versus champions and Liz Carmouche is not on that goddamn card, I'm going to be pretty freaking pissed. So,
right, I agree. Yeah, so I mean,
she's your only option.
Yeah, in my mind, it makes sense, right? They, especially when they're talking, trying to find champions, that to me looks like they're trying to set a way for that to happen in my mind. And I always love being that first loss for everybody. Whenever I have that flawless record, it seems like I'm the person that slides in there and takes it from them. So I love it.
What a meanie you are, Liz. Like, geez Louise. But so, okay. And are you pro or con with the uniform, Liz?
I think after doing the whole UFC uniform, I'm used to it now. Right. Mm-hmm. It was with doing like Reebok where I'm like, hey guys, I really kind of prefer to wear like dark colors, not white, because I always get a bloody nose. It looks really bad when it's all my blood on my clothing and I'd be in white or like pink or something. I'm like, I don't like white or pink. After that got forced on me, I'm like, nah, it really doesn't matter at this point. Because it looks from when I was like looking at their uniforms, it still allows for you to have some of your sponsorship on there.
Okay.
So if I can, I know they don't do banners. I know that part is out. So if it's within the confines of PFL, if I can still do my sponsors and stuff and be able to shout them out where I had those restrictions in UFC where I wasn't allowed to mention my fight sponsors by week.
Yeah.
PFL, from what I can tell, just watching it, doesn't have those same restrictions. Right. So as long as it's not impeding the sponsors that I do have a good relationship with, I'm all for it.
Nice. So overall though, like I feel like I've gotten to everything that I really wanted to ask because we've talked about it all in roundabout ways, but like, so overall you're pretty happy with this. You don't really see this as being limiting to your career. Interesting that you don't know anything yet, but, but moving forward, like thumbs up, you're good.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it's an exciting prospect. I mean, if I'm able to go into the season play, or even if it's champion versus PFL and Bellator, to have a belt that now represents, because I want to see, what does that new belt look like? Is it the new Bellator belt? Is it a new PFL belt? Is it like a cross and you're the one that came out on top? I mean, either way, that looks cool. If it's not a Bellator belt, it's either a cross belt or a PFL belt, then I now have two different type of belts and I can add one up there, to which case I love that opportunity.
I mean, I would like for you both to have to bring your belt into the cage and you just walk away with hers.
Ooh, I like that.
Because you know what I mean? Like if you're doing champion versus champion, well, then I want to take your belt literally and figure it out, right? Like that would be kind of cool.
Like that. That's definitely more like asserting your dominance even more. I like it.
Exactly, Liz. Exactly. Rain, before I ask my famous last question, is there anything that you wanted to ask Liz?
I have one more question for you, Liz. So looking back at your accomplishments, you know, you've won championships. You're such a great role model and you're on Wikifeet. Which one is your most favorite accomplishment so far?
I think exceeding all my predecessors, right? When I started off in this sport, it was overcoming so much adversity that I had in my own life. It was getting out of the Marine Corps, not knowing what my future held. And then getting into a sport where really, when I told my coaches, I want to just take it as far as it would go. I had no expectation or anticipation that I would go pro, let alone 4 months later to turn pro. Right. And then each time, each chapter is just more and more of an accomplishment, more and more of a surprise. And my biggest takeaway, my biggest thing that I'm grateful for out of all of it and most proud of, is I just never gave up on my dream and just kept pushing forward, no matter how many people stood in front of me telling me it was time to stop, that it was time to hang up the gloves or that I didn't have what it took. I ignored everybody, kept driving forward and just keep doing so.
Nice, Liz. And I do want to say, there's this, I saw this on your Instagram, so I'm going to put this up, but you've got a seminar coming up.
Woo-hoo.
Right. This is a striking seminar. So I do want to give a shout out to this because this is February 3rd. So it's into the future. So we've got time. Liz, I will share this as much as I can. And especially before it coming up close. But if you're listening on audio, go to fsbigbear.com and go sign up. That's at Big Bear Lake, California.
Yes.
Nice.
Are you up in Big Bear right now?
No, I'm not. I actually live in Tennessee. But one of my old students, she was one of my Muay Thai fighters, just great person. And ends up getting into jiu-jitsu, met her husband, who's an MMA fighter, and he runs the school out there. They moved up to Big Bear, opened up this school because there was so much desire for it. And then he'd reached out and he's like, hey, you know, this is kind of a shot in the dark. I don't even know if you remember me. I'm like, Yeah, I remember you. I totally do. You're Rebecca's husband. Of course I do. If nothing else, like your label going forward from now on is not your own name, but Rebecca's husband. Of course I know who you are. And so he asked if I'd be willing to come out. And I was like, yeah, I'd love to. I love doing seminars. I love teaching and trying to spread as much of my knowledge as possible and help people out as much as I can. And going back to California, you can't miss out on that.
Yeah, of course. That's beautiful. Okay, so go check out Liz. Get punched in the face by Liz for a very low, low price. You can get that. Liz, I'm going to ask you a question. Actually, before I do, Liz, is there anything that you wanted to say to the fans, viewers, and listeners of the podcast? Anything that you wanted to get off?
No, other than just stay tuned for the roller coaster that is now going on between Bellator and PFL, what all that could mean. But nothing else, just a fun ride. And I'm looking forward to being able to show everything I've been working on even more. I feel like each fight I get to sprinkle out just a little bit more of what I can do, what I know. And I just want to be able to put it all together in one fight and show people. And hopefully the next one will be that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm very excited for you, Liz. And I do also hope that eventually, and I do feel like this might be even more possible if you stay on the Bellator side of the PFL Bellator thing to get that fight in Japan, like you want. I know you want to go home to Japan and fight. And look, you weren't on any of the Risen versus Bellator cards.
No.
I was a little bit pissed off with that.
I thought that part of why I signed with Bellator is they do have that cross promotion with Risen.
Yeah.
And so like, hey, with your growing up in Okinawa and while you have very broken Japanese now, you speak at least a little bit of Japanese. Mm. You can bring a different side of things. That was part of the incentive for signing me. And one of the reasons that I went with them was like, that would be great. I would love the excuse to do this cross promotion. And then it doesn't happen.
Yeah. Well, it will, Liz. I mean, fingers crossed. Like now it's even more so because they're going global, right? Whatever. But I really want to see you on one of those cards for goodness sake, right? All right, Liz, I'm going to ask you one last question. Thank you so much for staying with us. It's a question that my mom used to ask me almost every day growing up. We've been asking it to all the fighters and guests of the podcast for the past little while, Rain. So Liz Carmouche, I wanted to ask you, on a scale of 1 to 10, how happy are you?
Ooh. I'm a grass greener type of person. So I'd say like a 7.
Oh, nice. Okay. Would you like to expand upon it at all?
Yeah. I'm always trying to seek new things. Like I can always find new reasons to be happy. Like one of my friends, we just found out just passed away. We found that out yesterday. Right. So there, I couldn't sit in that and that could be taking over. But for one, it was one of my wife's close friends. So I need to be supportive for her. But rather than let that drag me down, just be more appreciative of what I have today and be able to take, just seize those opportunities that we have. But I always want to make sure that I'm not settling into my comfort zone, but seeking new ways to be uncomfortable and to find new ways to make everybody around me happy. So I have room for growth and room to keep being happier than I am.
Very deep, Rain. I love it. Liz, thank you. That was an excellent answer. We get incredible answers from the different fighters and the different people. So Liz, that was very nice. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Liz, Rain, that's it. So Liz, I want to thank you so much for coming on the podcast. This was by far one of the best interviews, I think, Rain, that we've had in a long, long time.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. Liz, I've said it a few times on the podcast, but you haven't really given me a definitive yes. But will you come back on the podcast one day?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. There you go. Rain. Make sure you screenshot that, get that LinkedIn. Liz, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Rain, thank you so much. We really appreciate it, Liz. And all the best to you in your future. Have a Merry Christmas. Happy holidays with you and your family. Good luck with the four horses. And hey, when the next time you win, and the next, which will be your next fight, and the next time you get that belt,
a little bit of blood. I'm going to put the notes on my phone so I can't forget.
Yeah, take don't. The
blood, put it on there.
And if you get to keep that belt, because they're like, God damn it, Liz, this is disgusting. We don't want this anymore. Make sure you say thank you to us because, you know.
Yes, and I'll bring it on the next podcast, show you guys like, hey, this belt is because of you. I only hold this belt because you guys reminded me. Use the blood to close the deal.
Thank you, Liz. A good lesson for life in general. Use your blood to close deals. So we've learned lots today. Thank you, Liz, so much, and have a wonderful day. All the
thank
best.
You too. Merry
thank
Christmas.
You, Liz.
Thank you.
See ya. Bye.
Bye.
All right.
I love it. I love it.
Rain.
Such a great interview.
I'm telling you, we got to do our best guest of 2024 for the podcast. Like we're going to do that in our award show, which is next week, guys. So make sure you tune in. I think, hopefully, if we can figure out how to book this. But geez Louise, Liz just shoots up to the top of the list in terms of my nominations. I feel that was really good. We went all over the place, Rain. I had really only prepared to ask about like PFL stuff, like PFL Belcher stuff. But boy, your question was perfect. And it got me down that road because, yeah, I don't know. Liz is just like, Liz is a legend. She's been there for so long. So she's seen the development of the sport. Yeah. I really hope you guys appreciate that interview. And I really hope that you guys appreciate what she said there because I loved it. Personally, I love it. This was one of the best that I find it so hard, Rain, as I tell you always, I find it so hard to like really listen to what people are saying. But I got it. I got this one and I got
it. Walked in. I really love what she said too, because it really hit me, you know, because when she said, you know, it's about being comfortable about being uncomfortable, because that's how I felt when I first stepped inside a cage as a female cage announcer, because I know there's not a lot of females that do that kind of role. Mm-hmm. And to me, it's like, okay, I felt uncomfortable. I started questioning myself. Do I belong? Is this the right fit for me in the MMA world? And it's like, you know, and then finally, I just felt at home. I knew I belonged. I kept doing it and I love it. It's my passion. And I just know I belong, you know, even though I'm a female, I belong in this world. So I love what she said, you know, about her message to females who want to be in the MMA industry.
Yeah. And I like that she called all 18 to 35 year old males dirtbags. I know she didn't say it like officially, but that's essentially what she said. And look, my experience in dealing with people online is that they are a bunch of dirtbags and idiots, right? Like the stuff that people leave and the comments that they leave, it's so disgusting. I'm like, what's wrong with you people? Anyways, we just lost some viewers there, Rain. So I want to say thank you to all the fans, viewers, and listeners of this podcast. If you came because you're a fan of Liz Carmouche, and I'm putting up her Instagram handle at the bottom now. Normally I do it during the show. I realized, Rain, that when the guest is there, it kind of blocks a little bit of them. So I didn't put it up,
but everybody's
already following Liz online. But if you're not, it is.
Please follow her.
Yeah, you must. It is at I Am Girl Rilla. Right. So make sure you follow Liz for sure. If you're out in that area for Black Bear, go check out that seminar for sure. We'll put that
Big
up.
Big Bear.
Big Bear. What did
Big
I say?
Bear, Black California. Bear. Yeah. Black Bear is like a restaurant. I think it's like a diner here in California. No.
Well, go there, too. It sounds
go there, too. Yeah. We need some sponsorships, Black Bear Diner.
Yeah, goddamn. That said, if you are a sponsor and know any sponsors, we would love some new sponsors. We've lost all our sponsorships by now, Rain. We've run out of them, and I've been so busy to try and like get new deals going. So if you're a sponsor and you want to sponsor us, please do. Now, friends of the podcast update, of course, go to RageWorksPodcastNetwork.com. RageWorks Podcast Network at RageWorksNetwork.com. Go check them out for other audio podcasts such as ourselves. Sam Alvey.
Yes.
Oh, Rain. Very good. Punch. Whoa. Go check out the audio for that punch by Rain. Rain, I'm going to clip that. Smiling Sam Alvey, Rain. My God, the fight was at like 1 a.m. my time. I'm staying up because I'm dying to watch Sam, right? My wife is getting angry. She's like, let's go to bed. And I'm like, but it's Smiling Sam. And he freaking does it. It goes into an overtime, Rain. It goes into, they did the five rounds. It was considered a draw or whatever. So they go into a six round sudden death overtime round. I am dying. I'm watching it. I had to leave the bed. You know, I'm watching it huddled and I'm, you know, watching it with my cat. Crazy that Sam freaking pulls it out and wins. I could not be happier for the dude. It was a fantastic fight. His game plan, Rain, you know how he said that you can go on the ground, but you can take the guy down, but it's only 5 seconds or whatever.
Yeah.
He kept taking the guy down, but he would like slam on them, like almost use his body to like add extra pressure on the slam. Give him some shots. Apparently he broke his left hand in the second round, but you wouldn't know it because he goes on to fight four more rounds, knocked the guy on several times. He was imposing. He was using his strength. Best Sam Alvey I have seen in forever. So happy and excited for that dude. Like, I love him so much. I was so, so happy for him. What a friggin' fight. Just Rain. Couldn't be happier.
Woohoo! Congratulations, Sam. Keep smiling.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't be grumpy. Keep smiling.
I mean, boy, oh boy, does he have something to smile about now. But yeah, so I am so happy for Sam. Aside from that, guys, yeah, okay, so sponsors, we need money. Friends with Podcasts, we've done that. Now we're going to go on with our topics, Rain, and we'll talk about some other stuff.
Yeah, I'm excited. Let's go.
So much happened this past weekend. Like, crazy, crazy stuff happened this weekend with the UFC specifically. You were watching, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The one thing that we definitely have to talk about is the Colby stuff, which got really bad right away from the things that he was saying in the press conference and at media day. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. So he says this to everybody that's listening to this podcast knows what the hell we're talking about, but he says this stuff about Leon Edwards' father. You can go see him in hell. Mm-hmm. Right? Pretty brutal. When I heard it the first time, I wasn't sure whether that was a scripted line. You could tell that a lot of the stuff he was doing last week was scripted. Like, he had planned out jokes, you know.
And he was in a costume, too.
Yeah, his costume, his lines. Like, he had everything planned. He was ready to go. But that line, do you think that was a line he planned to say?
I think so, to be honest with you. I think it was one of those, like, one-liners that I think in his mind, you know what, this is probably something that will really get his opponent's right. attention and possibly kind of hurt his emotion. And maybe by doing so would probably, it's basically mind games. I think that's what he was trying to do. I don't know. I think it was such a low blow. I didn't think, you know, it made me think of, remember when we interviewed Frank and I asked him, hey, was there anything inappropriate that you didn't want to translate and you had to kind of like say something else because it was really bad? And he's like, no, because even though our fighters fight each other, in the end, they respect each other, you know? Yeah. So hearing that and seeing what happened at that press conference between Edwards and Covington, I was just shaking my head. I was just shaking my head. It was bad. It was bad.
For new listeners to the podcast, we're talking about Frank Andrew, the 1FC translator, and Rain, of course, is talking about 1FC, which is in Asia, a lot more respectful general culture there. So, like, yeah, this would never happen over there, or like, we don't think so. Rain, I'll admit, when I watched it, I thought it was off script. Like, I thought he said that and it was like off script, and I'm like, oh no. Right? Like, that was probably not the best. He probably just said that off thinking it was going to go over well.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't. And plus, he's on that stage. He doesn't know the crowd reaction. Like, I'm sure you don't get the immediate reaction. So you don't know whether your jokes are coming off right or whether your insults are coming off right.
Yeah.
But then when I listened to it back and I listened to how he said it and whatnot, I listened to it several times because it's all over my Instagram feed. The more and more I listened to it, the more I think it was a planned line.
I think so too. Yeah. Yeah, because I did the same thing. I kept listening to it over and over again because it wasn't it didn't feel like it just kind of like whoop, right? It was more like, I feel like it was like a planned statement that at some point he was just going to drop it.
Yeah. So that said, though, if it's a planned line, is it any less worse? Meaning, like, if it wasn't something off the cuff that he just says in the heat of it, because it was a planned line, you know, because I am / was a Colby fan up until this weekend. But people are going really hard on him. Like, he's getting murdered by everyone online immediately after saying it and up until now, especially because he lost, right? So because you lost, now that's it. Now you're dead meat. Everybody's coming off on him.
Yeah.
But I do feel like, well, if it's a planned line and it just didn't come off well and it was just poor judgment to say the line, I feel like I kind of want to give him a little teeny, teeny bit of leeway on it. No? You're like, screw this.
Well, the thing is, for me, it's like, whether it's planned or not.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't really, you know,
still
check the interwebs, but like, have we heard of any, you know, sort of like, you know, did he apologize at all?
No.
And that's the thing. So it's like, to me, it's like, if it's something that he thought, oh my God, I probably shouldn't have said that, he probably would have apologized, right? But the fact that there's no apologies, no, oh, I went way too far. You know, I think it's, you know, whether it was a planned line or was something that just, you know, happened just because he was so fired up, you know, to me, I think he stands by it.
Well, yes, but that, again, because it's a planned line, I feel like he's not going to apologize for it because it was a planned line. So he's like, no, this was my joke. I thought this was funny. You know, I thought this would really go good with the internet nerds, you know? I don't know. I just, like, Lee, I would love to know what the listeners of this podcast think, whether that was a planned line. And if it was a planned line, does that make it any better? Now, Rain, I'm going to hit you with something way worse. Okay. He makes the comment about his father because his father, and I tried to research it as best as I can. Mm-hmm. You can't find anything on his father. The only things you find is what Leon has said, which is that he was a very bad criminal. He was a leader of a gang. He was involved in violence. He did have guns. Just putting it out there. If the guy was a really, really bad guy, let's say that he murdered people, right? Or any kind of non-victimless crime. You know what I mean? Like any kind of crime where he injures people, hurts people, steals, robs, whatever. Any leniency there?
I don't know. Cause like, to me, I'm not like, you know, I try not to judge anyone and anyone's actions. You know, I personally have like my opinions, but at the same time, at the end of the day, I try to not judge anyone, you know. At the end of the day, it's someone's father, it's someone's son, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, if I were to put myself in Leon's shoes, right? At the end of the day, you know, hearing that about my father, to me, it's like, you know what, dude, you're still talking about my dad. You know, whatever my father has done, you're still talking about my father. So I think that would still like sting, right? Despite whatever his father has done in the past, at the end of the day, Leon will not be here without that man.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Look, guys, this is why we have Rain on here, because she's the holy one. She's the good person, right? There's a small bit of me that wants to give him leeway because it's a planned line. There's a small bit of me that wants to give him leeway because maybe the guy's father is a really bad person, you know? And I'm like, well, then isn't it kind of okay? Like, you're not saying it about like just any father, you know what I mean? Yeah. He definitely turned on the crowd at the end of his speech. I'm like, what? Like, this is crazy. Like, that definitely was not planned when then he tells the crowd to F off or whatever he did. Right. Donald Trump leaves in the middle of his speech. Did you see that?
Was that like from the presser or the post fight?
No. Sorry. In the post fight speech.
Post fight, right? Interviewed him after the fight, right? Yep.
Yeah. Interviews him after the king. That's when he turns on the crowd and says, F you guys, or whatever he does. And Trump's leaving in the middle of his speech, like before it even got to that part. So like you're, you know, like he was like, pro him and Trump best buddies, and then Trump just abandons him in the middle of it. Like, that was pretty bad too. And the crowd and the fans and everything, Dana White, everybody has turned on him. And to your point, Rain, zero apology that I've seen. We're recording this on Monday, so by the time this comes out, a few days will pass. I highly doubt he's going to change tune here.
I mean, if he listens to our podcast by the time it drops, you know, maybe he'll tweet something out.
Yeah, Colby, give us a shout out, you son of a gun. Yeah, Colby, what's going on? Anyways, that was a very crazy scene. I lost all my betting money because I had bet on Colby. I thought he was going to do it, and he like did not turn up, so I was very upset. But okay, let's go. Okay, so I mean, Colby, geez Louise, I don't know where he goes from here. I don't know who he fights after this. I don't know what he does. He's in a very weird world right now.
Yeah.
That said, last week we talked about Bilal Muhammad and how he gets all the hate online and like, how does he possibly deal with it? He goes out and starts talking trash about Colby because now he wants to fight Leon and whatever. And I mean, poor Bilal. I have no clue how this guy can possibly live online, like in the online world, because the hate and the stuff he gets is really brutal. Like if I go to X, you know, Twitter, and
the X Twitter.
And I look at Mr. Alan Jobin, which is the very handsome ex-UFC fighter who's now a commentator, blah, 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 right? Mm-hmm. Leon Edwards is in a press conference and he's talking about who he's going to fight next. And the press people obviously say, well, Bilal should be next, blah, 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 right? Because of his win streaks. And Leon Edwards really dismisses him. He's like, no, I don't want to fight this guy. This guy's boring as heck, blah, blah, blah. Alan Jobin writes, no, this is ridiculous. Bilal is next. Talking of legacy and welterweight GOAT involves fighting the next guy in line, right? Who I guess is Bilal. The comments, Rain, this time I'm more prepared, unlike last week, but the comments that Alan Jobin gets when he says, like, when he's defending, Bilal is a snooze fest with zero draw. No more snooze fests. I said I was ready and now I'm not, of course, but Bilal has a better resume. No, that guy's for Bilal. Shavkat is next. I don't like him. F Bilal. Bilal is just a mouthpiece nobody cares about. Does Bilal deserve it? No, he's the worst. But Bilal is next for what? He hasn't beaten anybody. Like, he just gets murdered on everybody's tweet. Like, anytime you mention Bilal, right? So what I'm saying to you, Rain, is UFC has to see this. Oh, I know what I want to say. During UFC 296?
Six, yeah.
They're going into the crowd. You know when they show fighters?
Yeah, when they're walking in.
No. Like when they're showing fighters in the crowd.
Okay.
So they're showing like, you know, Forrest Griffin, Chuck Liddell, you know, Sugar Sean, whoever. And the crowd, right? Every time you see a guy, you know, they'll show like, you know, movie stars in the crowd, whatever. Yeah, the crowd goes crazy. They show Bilal. Like, the whole crowd boos him. He's not even fighting. It's so bad, right?
Yeah.
And I responded to Alan Jobin and I said, you know, first of all, the next guy in line is subjective because we know rankings never really matter, whatever. I go, and don't you think that the crowd overwhelmingly booing him when his face hit the Jumbotron means something at the very least to Dana? If you're Dana White and you've got to pick who's going to be your next headliner, potential champion, Leon Edwards is not a crazy star. Like, I don't think people love him. I don't know that you can put him with Bilal in the main event of a pay-per-view. I don't know what that sells. And so my question to you, Rain, is how much does a person's popularity play into the fact whether they're going to get that main event status?
Ooh, a lot for sure. I mean,
yeah,
just look at like a bunch of influencers who ended up, you know, getting fights, right? Like, Logan Paul, for example, like he shows up in a WWE just whenever there's like a big pay-per-view. A lot of fans boo him, but at the same time, they keep bringing him back because I think the logic is that no matter what, there's still like a reaction from the crowd.
Okay.
Whether it's good or bad, I think there's still a reaction. Now, I don't know if that kind of reaction that Bilal is getting will take him to the main event. I'm not really sure. Maybe a co-main event, maybe. But, you know, I think with Bilal's character, I think it, you know, feeds his energy. You know, to him, it's like, all right, you can hate on me, but guess what? I'm going to do my work. And I don't know if to him it's like, it must be like a motivating thing for him to kind of see all of this stuff online. I think so because I know there's some people who are just like, you know what, you can talk bad about me, but I don't care. I'm gonna keep doing my thing. You know, there's people who are just like that. You know, they don't care what other people say. They do their thing because they love to prove people wrong. Yeah. And I feel like he's that type of person wherein he's gonna say whatever he thinks. You know, he's gonna act what, you know, however he wants to act because he's like, I'm gonna do me. Love me, hate me, I don't care. I'm going to prove to you who I am. So, you know, if that ever happens though, Bilal versus Leon, I don't think it will be a main event. I'm thinking maybe it might be a co-main event.
Okay, but here's the thing, Rain. So we've done studies before to see how many times different belts are put on the line, right? Mm-hmm. Like how many times do champions fight in a year? I think generally it's about 2.6 times or whatever. We did the math before. There's only a few champions that fight more than two times a year. And with 12 pay-per-views in the year and X number of divisions, there's only a few times where there's two title fights on a card. And I apologize, but I am speaking about men's title fights. Okay. Women's title fights very rarely are the main event. They're normally the co-main. Apologies to women. But the number of times that the welterweight title, which is a big title, has ever been the co-main, I'd love for someone to figure that out. I swear to God, Rain, it's probably close to zero, if not zero. That's a pretty good division. And so for that title to be relegated to a co-main event status would really be, you know, telling in the eyes of the public as to what the promotion thinks about them. Like, hey, we can't sell a pay-per-view with you two headlining. And for that reason, because the Bilal thing, it's not like he's going out there saying, hate me, love me, I don't care, blah, blah, blah. Like, he doesn't have that attitude. He just walks around like he's oblivious to it. And he's smiling and he's happy. I feel so bad for the guy. Like, honestly, I feel so terrible for him.
I know. Because
he must see it. He's on, like, so I don't know. I get what you're saying. Like, internally, he's probably a guy that can go, like, screw this. I'm going to show all you idiots wrong. I'm going to do it, blah, blah. But that's not his character. So I don't know how you make him a main event of a pay-per-view. I think you're right. I think he becomes a co-main.
Yeah, I think so. Crazy.
But that's crazy because, again, the UFC needs to have title fights for their pay-per-views, their numbered pay-per-views. So they've got to, like, make sure that these things are headlined by, like, sellable stars. So, anyways, yeah, poor Bilal. I don't know what the heck's going to happen with him. It is very crazy, Rain. So let's go to the last thing that I wanted to talk about, which also happened this weekend. Ian Garry pulls out of the fight. Did you see what happened here?
No.
Okay. Rain.
What happened?
Ian Garry is the guy that we've been talking about. He's the guy that we talked about was giving up the middle fingers and all that with Derek. Remember?
Yes. Okay.
This guy who's like a jerk. He's unlikable, whatever. Or, you know, I'm sure there's one person maybe that likes him. Generally unlikable. But this is the guy who then marries the lady, takes her last name. She wrote the book about women and girlfriends and how to get a thing. And everybody's been smashing him for being in this weird relationship. Apparently her ex-husband lives with them. He's his nutritionist. Like, it's just a whole weird thing. And all the fighters are like making fun of him. Kevin Trailblazer Holland released a video on his Instagram. I saw it yesterday. You know, when fighters are like, hey, go to mybookie.ag and, you know, bet on this, blah, blah. Kevin Holland is on there wearing a shirt with Ian Garry's face that says WAG underneath.
Oh, my God.
While he's doing his betting picks. Like, it's not even anything about Ian Garry. Like, it's just now it's just like free for all to make fun of this guy. So, of course, last week, you know, everybody's waiting. Like, okay, Ian Garry's fighting this weekend. He's going to be at that press conference. Oh, boy. Is like Colby Covington going to murder him on stage. And, you know, Sean Strickland, I'm sure, is going to have things to say. Blah, blah. Like, it's going to go crazy. He no shows to media day. And then on the press conference day on Thursday, he pulls out of the fight, says he's got pneumonia.
Wow.
No, I haven't seen anything. Obviously, Rain, you can pull out of a fight for any reason.
Yeah, even on the day of, you can still do that too. But
of course.
So wait, there's no reason online yet as to why?
Pneumonia.
Okay.
You know, if you're listening on audio. Heavy air quotes, pneumonia, right? Like, no, man, this guy just pulled out. He couldn't handle the pressure, couldn't handle it, whatever. Rain, I've put it on the screen here. Here's what I'm saying online. Nobody seems to be supporting me. Ian Garry should be fired. This is my statement. And the reason I'm saying it is because you were a featured fight in the pay-per-view. I don't think you're sick. right? You can't be pulling out because of this kind of stuff. Like the organization has promoted you, has like done stuff. Like everything is here to get you to be in this position for this fight. This is important for the card, for everything. People fly in, right? Like what if you were an Ian Gary fan and you're flying in to watch it? Or if you were a fan of Vicente Luque, his opponent, and you fly in, like a lot of people are out because you maybe, I'm going to use a bad word, but you bitch out. I apologize, Rain.
It's okay.
Do you think that Dana White should fire him to set the tone for other fighters to say, hey, in the future, you cannot do this?
Well, here's the thing, though. Like, I don't know. I mean, if he has pneumonia, I don't know how bad, you know, it is, like how sick he was last week. Yeah. It could be, you know, that he's bedridden and he can't really like get up and, you know, fight. And it, you know, it's a physical sport. So if he did not feel 100%, you know, I mean, I get what you're saying, but remember we had this girl, was it a UFC fight too, wherein she had that, she had something, like an abscess or something like that. And she revealed it after the fight.
In her bum. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, and we're talking about, you know what? She could have, you know, possibly infected other people and all that.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this was a case where in to him, it's like, all right, you know, I'm sick. You know, I don't want to get anyone sick and I'm not physically able to like fight. So I'm just going to.
I am.
You don't think so?
I don't know the guy from a hole in the wall, but I guarantee I would bet my dear sweet Evie kitten that he didn't pull out because he was worried about getting other people sick with pneumonia. He's saying it because he's like, I can't perform at my best, blah, blah, blah. I can't, whatever. Right. But the problem is, Rain, with him saying, I don't want to come to America because I fear for the safety of my family and blah, blah, like all the stuff that he was saying and getting upset because of this whole drama and controversy that has worked up because of his wife, him pulling out last minute like this with pneumonia is definitely questionable. And I'm just saying, Rain, Dana White, UFC can make a million stars. They could find any kid off the street and turn them into a star with the marketing machine that they are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does Ian Gary have fans? Yeah, sure. Is he a good fighter? Of course. But what's your win loss, your gain loss? If you were just to fire him anyways, who cares? Find another star. UFC is filled with them.
Yeah.
Get rid of him and set the tone that, hey, you got to be a professional. I don't care about all the things that get said, whatever. Like when Colby said the thing about Leon Edwards' father, it's not like Leon got up and goes, I can't take it anymore. I've got pneumonia. And then goes home. You know what I mean? Like you have commitments. You're a professional. This is your job.
Yeah.
People are relying on you. The organization is relying on you. The fans are relying on you. I feel like you set the tone. I know it's never going to happen.
Mm.
But Rain, we're recording this. And if it ever did happen, I'm going to look like a genius. I know. Oh my God. Dana White listens to the Fight Insight podcast. Like you really.
Hi, Dana White.
What's up, buddy? Yeah. Don't worry about all the bad things I've said about you, Dana, before, but I'm just saying right now, right. Obviously I know they're not going to do it, but do you think in the possible future that could happen where a fighter would get fired to set the tone for something like that?
I don't think getting fired right away. I think maybe getting fined. Because it's like, at least it's a warning.
Yeah. But how do you do that? I don't know. How do you just fine a guy? Like, that would have to be in the contract or something to say if you put, like, you, but yeah, no. Okay. No, you're right. Yeah. You know what?
It's like, you know, people do get sick. And, you know, sometimes there's just like unfortunate events that happen. And, you know, sometimes it's something that people can't control. So I think maybe getting fined would be, a kind of like a good warning, right?
But you got to put that in the contract though.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. So it's not something now, but moving forward, you got to maybe then, yeah, they've got to think about putting that into the contract and saying, okay, like if you pull out last minute, you actually owe us X dollars.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, then the guy just runs away and you never see him again. Like, it's like no money. Because how would you even equivalate that amount of money? You know what I mean? Like, it'd be so weird. But
I don't maybe know. Like a percentage of something, you know, like
yeah, percentage but he, of. Yeah, but he earns $0 that week. Like, a percentage of zero? You just have to, like, oh, a percentage of your projected pay and then something. Yeah, who knows? Anyways, Rain, that is it for us for today. I know that our guest, Liz Carmouche, was amazing. Here's the trick. We're filming this in reverse, but I see Liz in the background there, so I know that she's going to be here, and I know she's going to be freaking amazing. So I'm just going to say, that was a fantastic interview, Liz. Thank you so much. And Rain, before we go, anything you want to say to the fans, viewers, and listeners?
Oh, I just want to thank everyone for supporting my birthday donation drive to support the dogs of Second Chances Rescue. We're filming this today. My birthday is on December 19th. So thank you so much to all of you who supported this donation drive so I can help the dogs of Second Chances Rescue, where I adopted my dogs, Joey and Professor.
Yes. Guys, regardless of when this is, go support great causes like this, like for Rain. Rain, we got to post this again on our Instagram social so that we can get it because it is tomorrow. So happy birthday to you, Rain. And really, by the time people are watching this, Merry Christmas as well.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. So
we're doing our Christmas show next week, but Merry Christmas, everybody. Okay, Rain, we're out of here. Guys, if you're listening on audio, that's the end of the podcast. And if you're on video, you will see a couple of other podcasts show up right here. Go check them out. They are amazing as always. And thank you so much. And we'll see you next week. See you, Rain.